And now, live from Tribune Tower, Chicago, this is the WGN Radio Theater with Carl Amari.
Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Yes, it's Maxwell House Coffee Time, starring George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the inner sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
It's time once again for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Countdown for blastoff. X minus one.
Richard Diamond, private detective.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly.
Kraft presents The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah.
Well, it's about 11:10. Little late start for the WGN Radio Theater. I'm your host, Carl Amari. What's going on, Lisa Wolf, my co-host?
I'm right here as always, Carl Amari.
And directly in front of me, Shane Reardon, our producer. What's up, Shane? How are you, my friend?
I am not here as always.
He's
Carl.
Not here.
I'm
okay.
Remotely producing.
Yes, you are, sir. And hey, you know what?
Hey, what?
We have Westerns on this edition of the WGN Radio Theater. It's June 25th. It's a Saturday. It's program 89 in this series. We play classic radio shows every Saturday and Sunday night from 11 p.m. till 2 o'clock in the morning. And we're saluting Henry Fonda. And we have two Western adventures with Henry Fonda, including an hour-long Lux Radio Theater presentation, which will break up into four pieces. And then a little later, the Screen Guild Theater. Two Westerns. We have My Darling Clementine, where he plays Wyatt Earp. And then we'll tune into Destry Rides Again. All of this is brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actor stars in the TV series Four Kings, about four best friends who live in the penthouse of the Cosmopolitan Hotel in Las Vegas.
All right.
Ooh, the winner gets a $25 gift certificate for Lou Malnati's My Favorite Deep Dish Pizza.
I had the great pleasure of working with this actor.
I know you did.
Great pleasure. All right, so here's a hint. You will hear him in 1984's Ghostbusters.
I'm Winston Zeddemore, Yana. But I've only been with the company for a couple of weeks. But I got to tell you, these things are real.
All right, if you know who that is, 312-981-7200. Give us a call, 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner after this break.
You found us. This is the WGN Radio Theater. We are playing Celebrity Scoop, and let's play that movie clip again.
I'm Winston Zeddemore, Yana. But I've only been with the company for a couple of weeks. But I got to tell you, these things are real.
And let's talk to Bill from Deerfield. Hey, Bill.
Hi there, Lisa.
How you doing?
Hi. I believe the actor in question would be everyone's favorite fourth Ghostbuster, Ernie Hudson.
Yeah, that is right, and you are correct. You are a winner, Bill. You know what you won, a $25 gift certificate for Lou Malnati's, home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. I hope you can visit one of their 40 locations or visit them online at loumalnati's.com. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you'll listen to the whole show tonight.
I sure will.
Take care, Bill.
Thanks, Bill. Yeah, I had the great pleasure of working with Ernie Hudson on several of my Twilight Zone radio dramas, and also he played Peter in my Word of Promise audio Bible, Celebrity Voice audio Bible. Great guy. All right, so it's time for the Lux Radio Theater. As I said, we are cutting this up into four parts, and this is My Darling Clementine, starring Henry Fonda, good Western, from April 28, 1947. Of course, Lux was movie recreations. It was the longest running and the most extravagant show from the golden age of radio. It came to radio in 1934. Cecil B. DeMille was the host for many years. On this particular show, William Keighley is the host. And it had all the great stars like Cary Grant and Clark Gable, Frank Sinatra, John Wayne. They all appeared before the Lux microphones. It was sponsored by Lux Soap. It also made a transition to television in 1950 with James Mason as host. So let's tune into this Western now. My Darling Clementine, Henry Fonda is the star. That's who we're saluting. Here's part one of the Lux Radio Theater.
Now, by transcription, here is Lux Radio Theater.
Lux presents Hollywood.
Lever Brothers Company, the makers of Lux Flakes, bring you the Lux Radio Theater, starring Henry Fonda, Richard Conte, and Kathy Downs in My Darling Clementine. Ladies and gentlemen, your producer, Mr. William Keeley.
Greetings from Hollywood, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight we bring you the story of Wyatt Earp. Among the many heroes of the early West, Wyatt Earp and his three brothers stand as symbols of the fighting marshal, the sheriff who fought with fist and gun to establish law and order on our frontiers. Earp is played tonight by Henry Fonda in 20th Century Fox's screen success, My Darling Clementine. Co-starred with Henry is Kathy Downs, also from the original cast, and that new and talented arrival among screen stars, Richard Conte. It's playtime, and here's Henry Fonda, starred as Wyatt Earp, Richard Conte as Doc Holliday, and Kathy Downs as My Darling Clementine. Our curtain rises on the first act.
Oh, my darling.
Oh, my darling.
Oh, my darling Clementine.
Ten thousand cattle gone astray left my range and wandered away, and the sons of guns I...
Arizona, the 1880s. Along a broad sweep of rangeland, a herd of cattle settles down for the night. Nearby, around a campfire, four men have just finished supper. The men are brothers, the Earp brothers, James, Virgil, Morgan, and Wyatt. Wyatt Earp, until recently, United States Marshal at Dodge City. Suddenly, breaking through the twilight, five riders draw up to the camp.
Howdy.
Howdy. Wait here, boys. I'll see what they want.
My name's Clinton, mister. These here are my boys.
Evening.
Howdy. Your cattle, huh?
Yeah, me and my brothers are trailing them on to California.
They'll never make it, son. If you ain't got them committed to no shipper, I'll take them off your hands.
Thanks, not interested.
Me and my boys will make you a good offer. Pay you silver, $5 a head.
Paid more than that in Mexico.
It'll be a sorry-looking lot by the time you get to California.
Oh, they'll feed out when we get the grass. Say, what do they call this place?
Just over the rise there, big town called Tombstone. Fine town.
Tombstone. Yeah, I heard of it. Well, me and my brothers might ride in there tonight. Get ourselves a shave, maybe. Glass of beer.
Yeah, you'd enjoy yourself. Wide awake, wide open town, Tombstone.
Well, thanks for stopping by.
Change your mind about them cattle, I'll be around. Come on, boys.
More coffee, Wyatt?
No, thanks, Morg. That was the tribe of Clanton. Look about as mangy as we do.
Well, let's get to cleaning up supper dishes.
Yeah, James, that was mighty fine chow, son. One of these days, he's going to be as good a cook as Maul.
Well, I'm learning and trying.
That's what I keep telling him to do. Corey Sue ain't marrying him because he's so pretty. It's because he's such an awful good cook.
That's a fact.
Hey, if we're going into town, what are we waiting for?
Supper dishes, Brother Virg.
Oh, go on. I'll clean up here. My turn to 10 hurt anyway.
Don't be lonesome, kid.
I won't be lonesome.
You can sit here and think about your girl. I bet you marry Corey Sue first day we get back home.
Look, I didn't show you this. I bought it for her last week. Think she'll like it?
Say, what do you call that thing? A necklace?
Sort of, I guess. It's a pendant. Solid silver.
Sure is pretty, James. It's gonna look mighty pretty in them yellow curls of Corey Sue's.
Oh, ain't that the truth now? Well, if you're going into town, you better mount up.
Keep the fire going, James. We'll be back 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah, sure wasted a dollar for that bath in town. Could have stayed with James and just stood out in this rain.
It's coming down, all right.
That's some wide-open town, that Tombstone, huh?
Yeah.
Funny you run into Mr. Scott.
What, Mr. Scott?
Knew him back in Dodge City, Verge. He's mayor of Tombstone now.
Know what he did? Offered Wyatt a job as marshal. $250 a month.
$250? Well, Wyatt, you didn't take it, did you?
I sure didn't. We're in the cattle business.
I don't know whether we are or not. Pull up.
What are you talking about?
Look, those boulders. We left our cattle just north of those boulders.
How can you see in all this rain?
I can see all right. And they're gone, Wyatt. The cattle's gone.
James.
A chuck wagon's still there, see?
Well, likely James is in the wagon.
Come on.
He's dead, Wyatt. James is dead.
Shot in the back.
Our kid brother shot in the back. Morgan. Bertha, we're going back into town. Got there, Mr. Scott. James was dead and the cattle was gone. All I want to know is whether that marshalling job's still open.
Sure is, Wyatt.
I'd like to take it then, providing my two other brothers are deputies.
When do you want to start?
Now. Who runs the gambling in this town?
Fella named Holiday. Doc Holiday.
Who runs the cattle?
The Clantons. Old man Clanton and his four sons. Say, where are you figuring on living, Wyatt?
Hadn't thought about it yet.
I'll get some rooms here in the hotel for you and your brothers. Sway all in over the jail first thing in the morning.
Any idea where I might find old man Clanton?
Hard to say. Doc Holliday's place, maybe.
Thanks. I'll try Holiday. Good evening, Mr. Clanton.
Huh? Oh, evening.
Well, you were right.
Huh?
Our cattle. You said I wouldn't get very far with them. There was Russell this evening.
And so... Well, that's too bad. Hear that, boys? The fella's herd was Russell. Well, guess you ain't heading for California, then.
No, I just got myself a job.
Cow punching?
Marshalling.
Marshalling? In Tombstone? Well, good luck to you, Mr.
Earp. Wyatt Earp.
Huh? Oh. Well, good night, Mr. Earp. Come on, boys.
This here's not much of a grave, James. Best we can do for you now. 18 years old. Didn't get much of a chance, did you? I wrote to Pa and Corey Sue. They're gonna be all busted up over it. Corey Sue's young, but Pa... Guess he'll never get over it. I'll be coming out here to see you regular, James. So Morgue and Verge. We're going to be around here for a while. Can't tell. Maybe when we leave this country, young kids like you will be able to grow up and live safe. We're not forgetting you, James.
Now we're getting nowhere sitting around the jailhouse, Wyatt. Where's Verge?
Washing up in the hotel. He's all day scouting the Clanton's range. They've been moving cattle all right, but that doesn't prove anything.
Got any ideas?
No. Well, I'm going over to Doc Holliday's place.
Holliday's back in town?
If he isn't, I'll wait for him.
What about Holliday's girl? The one who sings there?
Chihuahua? She won't talk. See you later, Morg.
The news was sponsored by the Village of Bedford Park. And I'm your host, Carl Amari, Lisa Wolf to my right. What's up, Lisa?
Hey, Carl. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for bringing me in a very green and very tasty apple.
It's a Granny Smith.
Here's what we do now. We decided to do this starting last week, Shane. I don't know if I told you. So Saturday is Lisa's treat day, right? Lisa's going to bring in treats.
Okay. And I haven't seen any yet.
No, I know. Yeah. We didn't start quite yet. Carl just decided that this minute.
Yeah, and then, I'm gonna bring in treats on Sunday.
Oh, that doesn't help you much though.
As long as the ones on Saturday are better.
I'll work on that.
Yeah. Well, they're not gonna be better because I just said Lisa's bringing the treats on Saturday.
Dang it.
Lisa will bring in,
Carl usually forgets. He is like, oh, I know, I meant to, I'm really sorry.
Right.
So
you're
I'm
bring
on it.
Kale chips or something like that.
Kale chips.
Prior
no,
to.
No, I was going to bring some fresh spinach for you.
Oh, sure.
Prior to Mee's Meals, Lisa never stepped foot in her kitchen. I mean, now at least she has a reason to go into her kitchen, right?
Yeah, other than Mee's Meals, I have no reason, no.
But, and you have such a nice kitchen, too.
I do, right?
Yeah.
I know. I'm very proud of it.
Such a nice kitchen. All right, so we're playing a Lux Radio Theater presentation of My Darling Clementine, starring Henry Fonda, because we're saluting Henry Fonda.
I was hoping you'd, you know, sing a little for us.
Oh, what?
Oh, my darling. Oh, my darling.
You don't want me to sing.
I know, but I do.
But
it's,
if you ask
it's
me...
It's like this weird desire,
if you,
you
ask
know?
Me enough times, I will.
I'll work on that.
And he had a very famous daughter, did he not?
He certainly did.
Mr. Fonda?
Oh, yeah, she's the best.
Yes. And then a little later in the show, another Western with Destry Rides Again, Henry Fonda in that as well. Okay, let's get back to this. Part two, we are breaking this into four parts. Here's part two of My Darling Clementine on the Lux Radio Theater.
Baldy, you busy?
Bar's kind of slow this afternoon, Chihuahua.
You know when Doc's coming back? I hear he'll be back tonight.
Maybe. I ain't heard.
Where has he been this time, Baldy?
Tucson, over the border. Who knows where Doc goes?
That's right. Who knows? Hey, I see the new marshal, the poker player.
He's been doing all right, too.
I don't like marshals. Maybe I go hang around that table a little while.
Careful, Chihuahua.
Oh, sure. Sure.
Well, Marshal, your play.
My play. I love poker. Yes, sir, I really love poker.
Oh, howdy, Chihuahua.
Mind if I watch?
Hang around. Maybe you'll bring me some luck.
It's still your play, Marshal.
Now, what would I do if I was in your boots, Colonel? You're a real gambler. Huh? But you're living at it, huh?
Oh, well, I just...
You drew three cards, and I stood pat, and yet you raised me. Now, the question is, what should I do?
Take your time, Marshal.
Poker's a game of chance, isn't it, Chihuahua?
Some people think so.
But the way you're standing over my shoulder increases the odds considerable.
What's the matter, sport?
Oh, nothing, except you just told the colonel what cards I'm holding.
Oh, you got eyes in back of your head, huh?
That mirror over the bar, I saw you raise three fingers. You better get out of here, Chihuahua.
Listen, you thin star, Marshal.
If I catch you doing that again, I'll send you back over the border where you belong.
This is Doc Holliday's town. When he comes
better
back...
Better run along, Chihuahua.
Oh, sure, I run along.
Now, where were we?
Sorry, gents, but I don't like eight-handed poker deals.
Oh, now, Marshal, you don't think that I...
No. Ah, let's see. You just raised me. Yeah. Well, seeing as how you know I got three of a kind, I'll just have to call you.
Guess you lose, Marshal. Got a little straight that should...
Well?
Doc just walked in.
Huh? Oh, that's Doc Holliday, huh? Nice looking fella.
I thought I told you to get out of town, Colonel.
Have a heart, Doc. I said I'd cut you in.
I told you to get out of town.
I'm going, Doc. I'm going.
You're headed in the wrong direction. That door's for ladies and gentlemen. You go through the kitchen.
Sure, Doc, sure.
Go on with your game, gentlemen.
It's getting late. I better cash in.
Yeah, me too. Yeah,
this sure is a hard town for a fella to have a quiet game of poker in.
Sorry to have broken it up. I just don't like the way the colonel plays.
Doesn't matter. I've just been killing time anyway. Been waiting to see you.
I've been out of town, Mr. Earp.
So, you know who I am.
I know all about you. And your reason for being here.
And I've heard a lot about you, too, Doc. You left your mark around in Deadwood, Denver, and places. In fact, a man could almost follow your trail going from graveyard to graveyard.
There's a graveyard here, too. The biggest graveyard west of the Rockies. Marshals and I usually get along much better when we understand that right away.
Guess you're meaning, Doc. Good.
Have a drink.
Thanks, believe I will.
Baldy, a glass of champagne for the Marshal.
Make it whiskey.
You're my guest, Marshal. Champagne. Plan on staying here long?
A while.
Till you catch the rustlers who killed your brother, huh?
That's the general idea.
What's the specific idea?
I don't follow you quite.
Well, you haven't taken it into your head to deliver us all from evil.
I hadn't thought of it quite like that, but it ain't a bad idea. It's what I'm getting paid for.
Let's get down to cases, Marshal. What about me, for instance? How would you handle me if I took a notion to break the law?
You already have, from what I've heard. The law is my business, Doc.
I see we're an opposite camp.
If I draw a gun,
to learn how good you are with yours, I'm a great one for education, Marshal.
Sorry, but I'm not carrying a gun.
We can remedy that quickly enough. Hey, you down there. Let's have your gun. There's a gun, Mr. Rick.
Yeah. Looks familiar, too. Belongs to my brother.
Thanks, Verge.
All right, Wyatt, I've got another.
Now, if I killed you, Marshal, chances are he'd kill me.
Chances are?
That charge would ruin my reputation as a gambler.
Folks might say you were a fool to have started it.
So let's have that drink instead. Verge, meet Doc Holliday.
Howdy, Doc.
Howdy. Have a drink.
Thank you.
I'd like you to join us, too, Baldy.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Doc.
Well, gentlemen, your health.
Your health, Doc.
Doc, you all right?
I'm all right. Fill up the glass. Going to the performance tonight, Marshal?
Performance?
Haven't you noticed the posters?
Oh, that. Shakespeare's come to Tombstone, huh?
Yeah, been a long time since I've heard Shakespeare. How would you like to join me?
Fine. With or without a gun?
With, by all means. Next time, your brother might not be around.
Where are we going, Doc?
To find our Shakespearean actor. The theater's filled with people, and he hasn't even showed up.
I'm afraid Mr. Dennison P. Thorndike is drunk.
Drunk or not, we'd better get him there. Last three shows we've had, the star's been drunk, and the management had to fill in with bird imitations. Well, the population's getting mighty sick of bird imitations, Mr. Rip.
Guess we better find Thorndike, then.
Unless you want to have a riot on your hands. Me, it doesn't matter.
I'd still like to know where we're going.
Well, there's a little Mexican saloon. Since he's not at my place, chances are he's there.
Oh, but really, gentlemen, I must get to the theater.
Shut up, Thorndike. We want any more poetry, understand? If you're an actor, act.
Maybe you'd rather dance, eh?
Oh, no, no, please.
I want to see some acting, Finn. You can dance later.
Very well. To be or not to be, that is the question. Whether it is noble...
Well, there's your actor, Mr. Earth.
That slings
now to get him out of here.
No, wait, stay back. Fortune, I want to hear this.
Or to take arms against a sea of troubles by opposing, end them. To die. To sleep no more. And by a sleep to say... We end the heartache and the thousand natural shocks that flesh is heir to. 'Tis a consummation devoutly to be wished. To die. To sleep. To sleep, perchance to dream. Aye, there's the rub. For in that sleep of death, what dreams may come when we have shuffled out this mortal coil?
Ah, that's enough. You don't know nothing but poems.
Leave them alone, Clanton.
What? Oh, sure, Doc, sure.
Please go on, Mr. Thorndike.
Thank you, sir. Must give us pause. Must give us pause. Please help me, sir.
Must give us pause. There's the respect that makes calamity of so long life. For who would bear this whips and scorns of time? The law's delay. The insolence of office. And the spurns that patient merit of the unworthy takes. When he himself might his quietus make. Excuse me, Marshal.
What's the matter with Doc?
I don't know. They're waiting for you at the theater, Mr. Thorndike.
Thank you, sir. Shakespeare was not intended for taverns, sir. Nor for tavern louts.
Hey, wait a minute, Marshal. Hamlet stays here.
Hey, what's going on in here?
My apologies, Mr. Clanton. I had to hit Ike, and I guess I creased one of Finn's ribs.
Finn, you all right?
I'm all right.
Guess they had a little too much to drink, Mr. Earp.
Sure, I figured they were just having themselves some fun. Come on, Mr. Thorndike, I'll take you to the theater.
What happened?
Well, I pulled my gun on him, Paul, and when I did...
You see this whip? All of you? You see this whip?
No.
Next time, when one of you pulls a gun, kill him. Understand? Kill him.
It's a couple of weeks now since Wyatt Earp settled down in Tombstone, but the new marshal's no closer to discovering the murderer of his young brother, James. It could be the Clantons. Could even be Doc Holliday. Doc, who's haunted by a racking cough. Doc, the tavern keeper who quotes Shakespeare and scorns the law. One person might know the full story of mysterious Doc Holliday, his dark-skinned girl, Chihuahua. But Chihuahua's full of smiles and silence. Early one morning, the westbound stagecoach leaves a passenger at the Mansion House. Alone on the porch, Wyatt Earp watches her come up the hotel steps.
If you don't mind getting out of your chair, I've some baggage there.
Oh, sorry, miss.
Thank you.
Hotel clerk seems to have disappeared. As a rule, he watches out for the stage. Any special place you want those bags?
Well, I'd like them brought to my room, but if the clerk is... Oh.
Something wrong?
Why, you're the sheriff.
Uh-uh. Marshal.
Oh, I thought you were employed here. I'm terribly sorry.
No need to be sorry. About time I got myself out of that chair. You here for a visit?
I'm looking for someone. Dr. John Holliday.
You mean Doc Holliday?
Well, I imagine so.
Doc rode out of town early this morning, miss. Hard to say when he'll be back. Supper time, most likely. Oh, here's the clerk now. Got a customer for you, Dad. We want a nice room for Miss Carter.
Clementine Carter.
Yes, ma'am. Now then, if you just sign the register, Miss Carter. Don't mean nothing. Tones up the place a little, though.
You really didn't have to bring my bags upstairs, Marshal. I'm sure the clerk...
I told him to send up a couple of buckets of hot water in case you wanted to take a bath.
That's very thoughtful of you.
Well, here's your room. Hey, what do you know?
What's the matter?
Looks like they've put you right across the hall from Doc Holliday.
That's John's room?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I wonder if it's locked.
He doesn't have to lock his doors, miss. Nobody in Tombstone would be fool enough to waltz in there.
I would.
Come along, man.
This is where he lives, then. Where John lives.
That's right, miss.
Look, on the wall. His diploma from college.
Yeah. That's a diploma, all right.
He's a wonderful surgeon, isn't he?
I wouldn't know, ma'am.
And here, his photograph. I remember when he had this picture taken. See? He wore a mustache then.
That other picture, that's you, ain't it?
Yes, I was a nurse then in a hospital in Boston. That's how I met John.
Well, I guess I better get along, miss.
Thank you for your trouble, Marshal.
Real pleasure. Hope Doc shows up soon.
Would he come straight here to the hotel, do you suppose?
I imagine he'd go to that place down the street.
What place?
Well, it's sort of a bar.
Well, then I'll wait for him there. What's the name of it?
Well, it's called Doc Holliday's place, miss.
Tu cariño era mío y los besos.
What's the matter, Chihuahua? What'd you stop singing for?
That girl who just spoke to you. She was here before, wasn't she?
Yeah, come in twice this afternoon.
What does she want?
Looking for Doc.
So you sent her to him?
Well, of course I did. He's back now, ain't he? Maybe he wants to see her, too. Oh, don't look so mad, Chihuahua. You know Doc.
Yes, I know Doc.
Well, stop worrying. You're the only girl he pays any attention to.
Am I? Still, I should like to know what's going on back there.
Oh, forget it, will you? Come on, sing something. Sing something for old Baldy.
No, sure, Baldy. Sure.
Tu cariño era mío y los besos.
Clem, I just don't know what to say.
Aren't you glad to see me, John?
Sure, Clem, sure. But... Oh, I'd like you to meet a friend of mine, Wyatt, Miss Carter.
We met earlier today, John. Good evening, sir.
Howdy, ma'am. Well, I'll see you both later.
It's wonderful to see you again, John.
Why did you come here?
You're happy I came? I can see you're not. You're upset.
It was ill-advised, Clem.
Any less ill-advised than the way that you gave up medicine and left Boston.
How did you know I was here?
I didn't know. I've been months finding you. From cow camp to cow camp, from one mining town to another. Well, I should think that if nothing more, you'd at least be flattered to have a girl chase you.
Look, Clem, you've got to get out of here.
No.
This is no place for your kind of person.
What kind of a person am I, John?
Please go home, Clem. Go back where you belong. Forget that you ever...
You heard what he said. He said, go back home.
Who are you?
It does not matter who I am.
He's sick, isn't he? Those coughing spells. Does he have them frequently?
Too often. Each time he's worse. Oh, that frightens you, doesn't it? Maybe now you go home, huh? Maybe now you leave him alone.
You're ill, John. That's why you left home.
That has nothing to do with it.
Oh, as if that would have mattered.
I tell you, Clem, my health has nothing to do with it.
I don't believe you.
Then I'll give you the truth. The man you once knew doesn't exist anymore. There's not a vestige of him left. Nothing. Now, come on. I'll take you back to the hotel.
John, please, you can't send me away like this. You can't run away from me any more than you can run away from yourself. Now, I know why you don't care whether you live or die. Why you've tried to get yourself killed. Oh, I've heard all about you, John, and you're wrong, so wrong. You've no right to destroy yourself. A world of friends back home who love you. And I love you.
There's a stage leaving in the morning. Take it, Clem. If you don't, I'm moving on.
Very well, John. I'll go.
Good Monday. Well, no, Sunday morning. I get confused.
I know you do.
Sunday, Monday, Saturday.
Sunday, it's all the same.
It's now Sunday morning, correct?
It is. Saturday night, Sunday morning.
12:06 in the morning. And when we come back here tonight at 10, at 11 o'clock. Well, we get here at 10, but we go on at 11.
A little mental block.
We are going to have a salute to, I'm going to flip my page and tell you, Brian Donlevy. So tonight when we come back at 11 p.m., I said it twice, Dangerous Assignment, Suspense, and Burns and Allen. So we're here for 6 hours on the weekends. Yes, indeed. On this legendary station, Radio 720 WGN, we broadcast from the Allstate Studio right here on Michigan Avenue, 435 North Michigan Avenue, the Tribune Tower. And there's all people walking by.
There's a lot of people. And you, too, can come walk by. And
yeah, walk by, wave.
We always wave and talk to you guys.
And, yeah, we love to see the our listeners. We'd love it. Just
we have a little button for the speaker sometimes we hit, right?
I
can actually
hear
what we're saying.
Shane knows which one it is. I don't know. There's like 25 buttons here. I have no idea.
It's, you know, the one on the right.
No, it's the one on the left.
It's on the
right. Don't hit the one on the right ever.
It is the one on the right.
Never touch the button on the right.
See, Shane's getting difficult, huh?
Yeah, he can be. Well, he's on very little sleep.
Yes.
Very little sleep.
Yeah, I've noticed that tonight.
You know?
Well, you know.
Don't
tempered.
Don't poke a sleeping a grizzly bear.
Yeah, what's that supposed to mean?
All right, so we're here having some fun, playing some classic radio shows for you. We're saluting Henry Fonda, who has a very famous daughter. Name
you
escapes
didn't want to
me
talk
right
to,
now.
You didn't want to talk
Jane.
They don't know you're kidding.
Jane. Jane.
Do you remember her in Barefoot in the Park? In the movie with Robert Redford?
No, I don't think.
See, it's a very romantic comedy,
well, romantic,
so that wouldn't be on your bucket list.
No, there's no way I would watch anything
young.
Romantic.
I mean, that was, that
she's
was
done
back
some
when.
Very good
she's done
movies,
a lot though. Of great stuff.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so we're in the midst of tuning this in. My darling Clementine will have parts 3 and 4 in this hour. Then in our next hour, we're going to tune into this the Gulf Screen Guild Theater, another Western with Destry Rides Again with Henry Fonda. So it's Western night here on the WGN Radio Theater. It's all brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This very famous singer, songwriter, actress will star alongside Woody Allen, Carl, one of your favorites,
really?
In this untitled Woody Allen project. It's a TV series which takes place in the 1960s.
Oh, okay. All right. Here she is singing one of her famous songs, Wrecking Ball.
We clawed, we chained our hearts in vain. We jumped, never asking why.
If you know who that is, call us 312-981-7200. What will they win, Lisa?
They will win $25 gift certificate for my favorite pizza, Lou Malnati's.
All right, 312-981-7200. Call us now. We'll find our winner after this break.
Welcome back. This is show 89 of the WGN Radio Theater. We are playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play that movie clip one more time.
We clawed, we chained our hearts in vain. We jumped, never asking why.
That was me singing, actually.
I thought it was me.
No.
No, it's more like me.
It was me on helium.
Oh, okay, yeah. Got it. Let's talk to Paula. Is this Paula?
Yeah, this is Paula.
Hi, Paula. Hello. How are you? It's
Hi,
great
Paula.
To hear from you.
Thank you. I bet you're excited about Warpaint coming to town.
Yes,
that's musical.
Yes, that's at Goodman Theater. It opens this week. I think they're in previews.
What is?
It's with Warpaint at the Goodman Theater.
Huh.
Yes, with Patti LuPone.
Like,
yes,
like
and
that?
Chris
Warpaint.
And Christine Ebersole. You are right, Paul, and I will be there opening night.
You must be in heaven.
She knows me too well. Paula, do you recognize that singer's voice?
Miley Cyrus.
It is Miley Cyrus. I'm so happy you knew that, Paula. We'd love to give you a pizza from Lou Malnati's, $25 gift certificate anyways, and you have a Lou Malnati's close by?
Yeah, I do, yes.
Excellent. We hope you have a great pizza on us.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Paula.
Take care. Thank you,
I
Paula. We'd love to
I
hear from you.
I am falling asleep.
No, we won't let you. We're going to keep you up nice and late, okay?
Good night.
Good night. And now you can check out Lou Malnati's at loumalnati's.com. Their menu is online.
All righty. Thank you, Paula, and thank you, Lisa. It's time to get back to Lux. Want to hear this?
Does Paula. I know
right.
She does.
So Henry Fonda is who we are saluting. We are tuning in to My Darling Clementine, an hour-long Lux Radio Theater. We have parts 3 for you now, and then a little later, parts 4. And then in our next hour, Henry Fonda stars in Destry Rides Again on the Gulfstream Guild Theater. It's Western Night here on the WGN Radio Theater. Here's part 3 now of the Lux Radio Theater.
Hey, Rick. You think your brothers can finish supper all by themselves? I'd like to see you.
Sure, Doc. Trouble? I don't think so, Morg.
From where I'm standing, Irv, that tin badge you're wearing doesn't give you the right to stick your nose into my personal affairs.
What's eating you, Doc?
Why didn't you tell me Miss Carter had come to Tombstone?
Didn't she tell you why? She wanted to surprise you.
All right. Now let me alone.
I'll be around for a while if you have any more questions.
Baldy?
Yeah, Doc?
Give me that bottle and the glass.
Oh, Doc, you're not going to start drinking whiskey again, are you?
I said, give me that bottle and the glass.
I'll pour it, Doc.
Shut up. Stop singing, will you?
Oh, Doc. Doc, what is wrong?
I'll go squall your stupid little song somewhere else. Now get out of here.
Doc's sure lapping up the liquor. I'm going to see if I can get him out of here.
Finish your supper, Wyatt.
It's all right, I'm finished.
Have a drink, Marshal.
No thanks, Doc.
I said have a drink.
No thanks. Look, Doc, I ain't trying to poke my nose into your personal affairs, but from where I stand, a man will have to go a long way before he finds a nicer girl than that Miss Carter. Or a prettier one, for that matter. There ain't a man...
Marshal, you've said enough.
Just as you say, Doc.
And this isn't any of your business either.
Keep that up and you'll be out of business.
You've just given me a brilliant idea. It's time I tempted fate.
What are you pulling your gun for?
Now, let's see. Who's in here tonight that I don't particularly like?
That's a sucker game, Doc. There's probably 50 men around town just waiting to see you get liquored up so they can fill you full of holes. Build them a great reputation. The man that killed Doc Holliday.
See those fellas playing poker down there? If that lamp should suddenly crash down on their table, they may not like it. I'm going to find out, Marshal.
Sorry I got to do this, Doc. Give me a hand, Baldy. Let's get Doc to bed.
Morning, Wyatt.
Morning, Morg. Morning, Verge. Have a good breakfast?
3 chops and 4 eggs. Feel pretty good.
You sitting all alone on the porch?
Yeah, I just came from the barber shop. Had my hair cut, see?
Looks nice. Spurge and I figured on riding out to James's grave.
Figured I might ride out myself this afternoon.
Say, is that a church bell I hear?
Yeah, that's a church bell, all right.
You know, if I wasn't in the territory, I'd swear we were back home on a Sunday morning.
Yeah, with Ma scrubbing our necks to go to camp meeting.
By golly, I bet that's what it is. A camp meeting.
Could be. You know, I can almost swear I smell the honeysuckle blossoms.
That's me. Barber put some stuff on my hair.
I'd sure like to know what's happened that a church bell is ringing in this godforsaken town.
They're trying to build a new church, Verge. Need more money, though. They're having a social this morning after the service. The mayor said there'd likely be some dancing, too.
You know, there's probably a lot of nice people around here. We just ain't met them.
Well, let's get started, Morg.
Yeah, see you later, Wyatt.
See you later.
Hiya, Chihuahua.
Morning, Chihuahua. Looking for someone?
I'm going into the hotel. Any objections?
Doc's still in his room, I think.
He won't be there long when he finds out you're here. You hit him last night. He'll come down here and twist that tin badge around your heart.
Yes? What is it?
I came up here to see Doc. I decided to see you first.
What about?
Oh, I see you are packing your clothes.
I said, what about?
I am Chihuahua. I am Doc Holliday's girl. I just wanted to make sure you were packing.
Slamming doors, women yelling, I'm trying to rest.
Oh, I'm sorry, darling. You're not angry, are you?
And you know, Chihuahua. What right have I got to be angry with anyone or anything?
She's packing, Doc. She's leaving town.
Happy, aren't you?
Oh, yes.
Get me a drink. There's a bottle on that table.
Yes, Doc.
Chihuahua, I'm going into Mexico for a week or two. While I'm gone, I want
Doc, take me with you. Please, Doc, please.
Take you with me? Sure, why not?
Doc!
I've got another idea. Go over to the saloon. Tell Bowley I want a wedding breakfast prepared. Flowers, champagne, everything. Then get into your prettiest dress, Chihuahua. And if Bowley starts asking questions, just tell him the queen is dead. Long live the queen.
Good morning, Miss Carter.
Good morning, Mr. Earp.
You've been standing there long?
I just came down. I thought I'd wait here on the porch for the stagecoach.
You leaving?
I'm going back east.
Well, eastbound stage don't leave till noon on Sunday. It's a mighty short visit, miss.
John thinks I've overstayed my visit already.
Well, I don't know, ma'am, but if you ask me, I think you're giving up too easy.
If you ask me, I don't think you know too much about pride.
No, ma'am, maybe I don't. You hear that, Miss Carter? A church bell. Church bell and tombstone.
I believe that's the first church bell I've heard in months. This may sound strange, Marshall, but I love your town in the morning. The air is so clean and clear, and the scent of the desert flowers.
That's me. Oh. Barber.
Are you going to the church service?
Well, I've been sitting here pondering over it.
If you do, may I go with you?
You?
Well?
Well, I guess I'm through pondering, Miss Carter. I'd sure admire to take you to church.
And so, folks, while all we got's a foundation and a bell, I hereby declare their first church of Tombstone, which don't have a name yet, nor no preacher either, officially dedicated. Now, I don't pretend to be a preacher, but I've read the good book from cover to cover and back again. And I never found nothing against dancing. So we'll commence by having a dad-blasted good dance. Start the music, boys!
Well, will you oblige me, ma'am?
Thank you.
Morning,
no, Mr. Clanton.
I don't mean to bust up your dancing, miss, but I've been wanting to ask the marshal something.
That's all right, Mr. Clanton.
Find out who shot your brother yet?
I've got a pretty fair idea.
Good. Maybe this town will turn out like the mayor said. Honest and God-fearing. When you figure to round up them rustlers?
It won't be for a while, Mr. Clanton, but I promise you, you'll be one of the first to know.
Much obliged, marshal. Much obliged.
Sorry, ma'am.
After all, you are marshal here.
There's some who think I forgot what I took the job for. I haven't forgotten. Well, now then, Miss Carter. Well, we're back in time for Sunday dinner, ma'am. If you want to freshen up, you... Hello, Doc.
Hello, Marshall. Hello, Clem.
Hello, John.
You might better say goodbye.
Where are
I'm
you
leaving,
going?
Clem. It doesn't matter. I told you last night to leave Tombstone. I told you if you didn't, I would.
Just a minute, Doc. Running people out of town, that's my business. That's what I'm getting paid for. Miss Carter or any other decent citizens can stay here just as long as they want to.
We're through talking, Marshall. My advice to you is to start carrying your gun.
That's good advice, Doc. Thanks.
You! This is the second time you've burst into my room, Chihuahua. I wish you'd knock after this.
He's gone. Doc's left town. He was going to Mexico and take me with him. He was going to marry me. Where'd you leave in town, too?
I had every intention of leaving town, but I've just about changed my mind.
The stage leaves in 20 minutes. You'll be on it, you hear? You'll be on it.
What's going on, Miss Carter?
It looks like a slight case of hysteria, Marshal.
What are you doing here, Chihuahua?
None of your business.
Why don't you behave yourself? Now go back where you belong.
I'm not getting out till she leaves town. What do you know about it anyway? What do you know about Doc and me? We were going to get married. He was going to marry me until these milk...
What's that you're wearing?
Doc told me to dress up. There would be wedding breakfast at...
That pennant around your neck, where'd you get it?
Doc gave it to me. Where do you think I got it?
You're sure that's the truth?
Why should I lie about it? It's solid silver. Doc gives me everything I got.
Go to your house, Chihuahua. Go to your house and stay there.
I go where I wish.
It's your house or the jail till I bring Doc Holliday back here.
Why?
Never mind why, and give me that pendant. Sorry, Miss Carter. Maybe we can have that Sunday dinner some other time.
Got your horse ready, Wyatt. Find out where Doc went?
I found out. He's riding the bullion coach to Tucson. You and Vert stay in town. Keep an eye on Chihuahua.
What are you after Doc for?
Because I just found this.
The pendant. The pendant James showed us the night he was killed.
Brought it for Corey Sue, James did. Chihuahua had it. Doc Holliday gave it to her.
Sure you don't want me to ride with you?
Funny, I suspicioned it was the Clantons all the time. Didn't know Doc went in for shooting kids in the back. No more thanks, I'll get him alone.
After a furious three-hour ride across country, Wyatt Earp has overtaken and cut off the northbound stage. At the mouth of the Huachuca Pass, he stands now in the center of the road and signals the stagecoach to come to a stop.
What's up, Marshal? What's wrong?
I want your passenger, driver. Climb down, Doc.
All right, Marshal. Now what?
I'm carrying government money, Marshal. Ain't ought to stop here.
I'm not holding you. You can go on.
Not going till I'm back aboard.
You heard what he said, Doc.
Whip up your horses, driver.
Yeah, sure, Marshal, sure. Hey, up there! Hey!
You shouldn't have done that, Marshal.
The stage is going to Tucson, Doc, but you're coming back to Tombstone. Now, suppose we just talk it over.
I told you I'm through talking.
Still, you're coming back with me.
Sorry, but I'm not going back.
Well, in that case, I'll be taking you back. Stay where you are, Doc.
Draw for your gun, Marshal.
You call it, Doc.
Come any closer and that's it.
I said I'm taking you back, Doc. Ready to come with me now, Doc?
That was no accident, was it, Marshal? Shooting the gun out of my hand.
Be hard to miss it at 12 feet.
Why didn't you want to kill me?
Because I'm wearing a badge, and the badge says you got to have a trial first.
Trial for what?
For murder. For killing my kid brother.
You've got the wrong man.
Have I? Suppose we talk it over on the way back. Come on, Doc. We'll pick up a horse for you.
Hey,
thank you, Laura. All right, Lisa Wolf, this is the WGN Radio Theater. Want to remind all of our listeners that we have a terrific sponsor by the name of Mee's Meals that wants to give you out there listening dinner for two delivered to your home absolutely free. They want you to try out their marvelous, marvelous company. And Lisa and I and Mike Estella, we get Mee's Meals every single week.
Yes, we do. I love it. I love that it's delivered to my door on Mondays, and I know what I'm making for dinner Monday night for certain, because I picked it myself. I went online to meesmeals.com and chose the dinners that I wanted, and I'm picky, too, so I have them delivered just the way I want them, special preferences, special allergies, whatever you have. They are really good about that, and we want you to try it, too. So if you go to meesmeals.com and you enter promo code radio, try a free dinner for two on us and let us know what you think. We are so sure that you're going to like it that we're willing to give it to you for free for the first time.
Right, and it's Meez with M-E-E-Z, so two E's, meezmeals.com. Check it out and put the promo code radio. Get dinner for two delivered to your home absolutely free. Okay, it's time now for the conclusion to My Darling Clementine, starring Henry Fonda on the Lux Radio Theater.
Come on, bartender, whiskey for me and my boy Ike.
Maybe I better pour three, Mr. Clanton.
Three?
Ain't that your other son coming in? Ain't that Billy?
Huh?
Looks like Billy's got something on his mind, Paul.
Wait here, Ike. What's the matter, Billy?
Oh, Paul, I just seen him riding into town. The Marshal and Doc Holliday.
Well, what you fretting about?
They're heading for Chihuahua's place, and they're going to start asking Chihuahua questions.
You fool. You crazy. I told you to keep away from that girl.
But, Pa, what can I do now? What am I going to do?
There's only one thing you can do. Go on. Get going.
Who is it?
The Marshal.
Who do you think you are banging on people's doors this time of night?
Better let us in, Chihuahua.
Doc. Is that you, Doc?
Open up, Chihuahua.
Oh, Doc, you came back.
Why did you tell the Marshal I gave you this silver pendant?
Well, you did, Doc. You gave it to me.
I never saw this piece of junk before in my life. Who gave it to you?
When? You can't remember everything you gave me, Doc. Sure you did. Don't you remember?
When?
I don't know. A week ago, maybe. What difference does it make?
That being the case, Doc, I charge you with the murder of my brother, James Earp.
Oh, Doc, he's fooling.
I ain't fooling, Chihuahua. It was stolen from my brother the night he was shot in the back.
Do you still insist I gave it to you?
Oh, no, of course not.
Then who did?
I can't be a squealer, Doc.
And that's that. Come on, Doc, let's go.
Oh, no. No, let him go.
You're going to tell us the truth?
Yes, it wasn't, Doc. A few nights ago, it was late. Somebody knocked at the door. I thought it was you, Doc. So I opened the door, and it was somebody else.
Who?
Oh, Doc, don't be mad. I didn't know.
Who?
Billy Clanton. He gave me the jewelry. And then he tried...
Verge!
What happened? Wyatt, get shot!
Billy Clanton, there he goes. Verge, beyond the barn. Go get him.
Billy Clanton.
You better stay at the hotel tonight, Chihuahua. Next time, they may not miss.
He did not miss. This time...
I got everybody out of the saloon, Marshal. But why'd you bring her down here for?
She's hurt real bad, Mayor. Put a couple of them poker tables together and set some lamps around them. Give him a hand, Baldy.
Sure, Marshal.
Morgue, you're at the hotel. Get Miss Carter. She's a nurse. Tell her to stop by Doc's room and get that doctor's bag.
I told you I can't do it.
You gotta do it, Doc.
Chihuahua was badly hurt, and I stopped being a doctor 3 years ago.
You said she had to be operated on.
And why haven't you sent to Huachuca for the army doctor?
That'd take hours. He may not even be there.
Doc, you're gonna operate.
I'll try. I'll do what I can. I'll be in the kitchen. We'll need boiling water.
She's unconscious again, Marshal.
Yeah, Bully.
Billy Clanton, huh? Maybe your brother got him. You heard them shots before.
He'd have been back by now. No, I guess Burge has got a chase on his hands. He'll get him.
I'm ready whenever you are, John.
Thanks, Clem. Better move that lamp a little closer.
She seems to be regaining consciousness.
It's a pity. Chihuahua.
Sorry, Doc. Still mad?
No, honey, look. I haven't got anything to put you to sleep with, so this is going to hurt like blazes. Yell, scream, holler, anything you like.
Bite on this towel, Chihuahua. It may help.
Thanks, Miss Milkface.
Just nod your head when you're ready.
Oh.
Hold her hands, Marshal. May her watch her feet. Now bite on that towel, Chihuahua. Bite hard.
What is it?
I'm Virgil Earp. I'm looking for your brother. There was a shooting in town. I followed him here to this house.
There's a deputy here, Pa.
He can come in.
He's right in there, Mr. Earp. On the bed. He's dead.
My boy, Billy. Shot down on the streets of Tombstone. Murdered.
It's too bad it had to end this way, Mr. Clinton.
He got off his horse, walked in, and dropped down dead.
Who shot him, deputy?
I did. I was doing my duty.
Yeah. Sometimes killing is a man's duty. You can go back to town now, can't you?
Yes. I'm sorry.
Hand me that rifle, Finn.
Here, Paul.
Open the window. Mr. Earp?
Yes?
Get your horses, boys. We're going into town.
It's all over now, Chihuahua. I'm all finished.
It doesn't hurt anymore, Doc.
You're all right now, honey. You've been a brave girl.
We're taking you to the hotel, Chihuahua. You'll be more comfortable there. Morgan, if you and the mayor...
Sure, ma'am. Ready, Mayor?
Gently now. I'll go with her, John.
Thanks, Clem.
I'm awfully proud of you, Dr. Holliday.
How about a drink, Doc?
No, I've got to get cleaned up. I'll be over in a few minutes, Clem.
You have a drink, Marshal?
I could use one, Baldy.
And Doc. Oh, he sure did it, didn't he, Marshal?
Yeah. Baldy, have you ever been in love?
Me? No, Marshal, never. Been a bartender all my life.
Well, I better get started looking for Verge.
You'll find his buddy in front of the hotel.
Clint.
You'll find me and my boys waiting for you at the Wells Fargo Corral.
The mayor's forming a posse, Wyatt. It'll be over in a little while.
First James and now Verge. Now, no posse. This is just for you and me, Morg.
I was hoping you'd say that.
There's four of them Clantons.
That's all right.
They're walled in that corral, all right. Baldy saw them. It's just at the edge of town.
Here comes Doc.
Yeah. How's Chihuahua?
Chihuahua is dead. Dr. John Holliday. When do we get the Clantons?
We? Well, thanks, Doc, but...
It's all right. It's all right, Morg. I kind of think Doc wants to come along. We go after him at sunup, Doc.
Thanks.
Here they come, Paul.
Three of them, huh?
Ike, Sam.
Shut up. Stay where you are, Sam. You too, Ike. Maybe others coming in from around the back.
It's them, all right.
Okay,
Marshal, his brother, and Doc Holliday.
Make a pretty target, son.
Yeah.
Walking straight down the road there.
They're crazy.
Put on your gun. Wait till they get closer, you fool. Stay undercover, Ike. You too, Sam.
Don't worry, Paul.
Finn, get behind the post.
They're splitting up, Paul.
Let them.
One to the left, one to the right.
And one keeps coming straight ahead.
Paul, let them have it.
In good time, son. All in good time.
Morning, Mr. Clanton.
Cover him, Finn. What do you want?
He's ducking behind the stable.
Let's talk a while.
Well, now, you go right ahead and talk.
I got a warrant here for you and your sons charging the murder of James and Virgil Earp. There's also a charge of cattle rustling. I'm giving you a chance to submit now to the proper authority.
You come right on and serve your warrants, mister.
Which one of you killed James?
I did. And the other one, too. And I'm killing you this morning.
Ike! In back here!
Give it to him, boys!
I got Doc!
Hey,
Better come out of that shed, Mr. Clanton, while you're still alive. Mr. Clanton, you saw what's happened. You're the only one left now.
He's opened the door, Wyatt. Careful.
Throw out your rifle, Mr. Clanton. Now come out with your hands up.
My boys. I, Sam, Finn.
They're dead. But I ain't gonna kill you. I hope you live 100 years. Feel just a little what my pa's gonna feel. That's your horse over there?
My horse? Yeah. Yeah.
Get in the saddle and keep going. Get out of town. Start wandering.
You let them get away?
Yeah, an old man who's seen his sons die. Where's Doc?
Back in the shed there. Doc.
Not a good I was to you.
It's all right, Doc. You couldn't help it.
I got one of them, didn't I?
Yeah, you got one of them.
I had to stop coughing. Sorry.
We'll get you back to the hotel, Doc. You'll be all right.
No. I knew this cough would kill me one way or another.
Doc? Doc?
Wyatt, look out! Old man Clanton. Well, he won't be trying to shoot any more men in the back. We should have known he'd have a gun in his saddle.
Thanks, Morg. Well, I guess we can turn in our badges now.
Come on, Wyatt. We've got some ground to cover today.
Be right there, Morg.
I'm sorry to see you leave, Wyatt.
Thank you, ma'am.
There were so many things I wanted to say, and now nothing seems appropriate.
Yes, ma'am, Yeah, I know. The mayor says you might be staying here a while, maybe helping get a school started.
Maybe.
Well, that's mighty nice, ma'am. Me and Morg are going out to see Pa, tell him what happened. I might come east again, get some cattle, maybe stop by here again.
Stop by the schoolhouse.
Yes, ma'am, I sure will. Goodbye, ma'am.
Goodbye, Wyatt.
Ma'am, I sure like that name of Clementine.
Here's Mr. Keeley at the microphone.
There's more to come as we bring our three stars back to the footlights for a curtain call. Henry Fonda, Richard Conte, and Kathy Downs. You made the Old West seem very real tonight.
Thanks, Bill. Actually, it seemed very real to us when we were shooting the picture.
Is it true about you being surrounded by Indians most of the time?
Yes. In fact, the producer hired a lot of them as extras.
Did you pick up any of the language?
Oh, simple words like Nanya for rain and Shushe for papoose.
Papoose?
Sure. Indian baby.
Oh, I thought you meant the rear end of a railroad train.
But the Indians were really mighty helpful when it came to keeping us posted on the weather.
You don't mean they could predict the weather.
One old codger could. Every morning we'd ask him what it was going to do and he'd tell us.
Never missed, huh?
Oh, he failed us once. At least he shook his head and said he didn't know.
What reason did he give?
His radio had broken down that morning.
Well, Bill, if that Indian is listening in tonight, I'm sure he's waiting to hear what's on for next week.
And we're glad to tell him, because next Monday from the studios of Universal International, we're presenting that current howling comedy success, The Egg and I. And our stars are Claudette Colbert and Fred McMurray. Both, as you know, from the original screen cast.
That's a very funny picture, Bill.
And I'm sure it will make a delightful play for us. The story of two refreshing people who seek peace and riches on a chicken farm and end up more scrambled than the eggs.
Sounds like something to crow about.
We'll be listening. Good night.
Night.
Good night and our sincere thanks. Lever Brothers Company, the makers of Lux Flakes, join me in inviting you to be with us again next Monday evening when the Lux Radio Theater presents Claudette Colbert and Fred McMurray in The Egg and I. This is William Keeley saying goodnight to you from Hollywood.
Tonight's screenplay, My Darling Clementine, was based on a book by Stuart N. Lake. Henry Fonda will soon be seen in the 20th Century Fox production, Daisy Kenyon. Richard Conte appeared through the courtesy of 20th Century Fox, producers of The Ghost and Mrs. Muir. Kathy Downs will next appear for 20th Century Fox in The Miracle on 34th Street. Heard in tonight's cast were Earl Ross as Clanton, Carlton Cadell as Morgan, Paula Winslow as Chihuahua, and George Neese, Cliff Clark, Norman Field, Clark Gordon, Tim Graham, Eddie Marr, Bill Johnstone, Tyler McVeigh, Charles Seal, and Edwin Max. Our music was directed by Louis Silvers. This program is rebroadcast to our servicemen and women overseas through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio Service. And this is your announcer, John Milton Kennedy, reminding you to tune in again next Monday night to hear The Egg and I with Claudette Colbert and Fred McMurray. Be sure to listen in next Monday night to the Lux Radio Theater presentation of The Egg and I with Claudette Colbert and Fred McMurray. And why not tune in to Joan Davis every Monday night over most of these stations? This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Oh, yeah, I like this. What's this from?
This is a Zac Brown Band, Where the Boat Leaves From.
The Zac Brown Band, Where the Boat Leaves From.
That's what he just said.
Where does the boat leave from?
Ask the Zac Brown Band.
Yeah.
Probably from an
Navy
area
Pier?
With water. A port, I'd say.
I'm going to say one. Navy Pier.
Okay, it's there.
I like it. It's nice, huh, Lisa?
I'm not talking to you anymore.
You get your toes tapping and your fingers snapping.
I'm not listening to you anymore.
She's mad because we blew the whistle on her.
Yeah, it's kind of like that movie Liar Liar.
She knows how to use the the countdown on her phone now because Mike Costello showed her how to do it. You know, you press a button and it counts down. And so we're waiting, counting down. 10 seconds could be a long time when you're doing it 30 times.
Yeah.
And not one picture did she like.
Wait, so you're counting down 10 seconds. Why don't you just press the camera button?
No, because she wants to get all ready. She got to get her hair.
Well, get ready and then press the camera button.
Yeah, but no. What, Lisa?
I didn't say anything.
Okay.
I'm being quiet because I don't want to lie to the listeners or anything.
But you know what?
What?
Lisa likes, she wants to make sure she looks good in the picture.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that.
That's okay. That's okay. Maybe we should start bringing in a makeup artist in here.
Sure.
On Saturday and Sunday nights. We'll bring a whole movie crew, makeup crew, hair, makeup. Call it glam.
Really?
We'll bring in a whole glam.
I don't know anything about that.
I'm very familiar with that.
We'll bring it in. Have you ever worked on a movie?
No, but I've no.
No?
No.
No?
No, well, I haven't.
Yeah.
I have worked on many a movie. Glam is good.
She has the whole
glam is good.
We'll get
I
you
have
a
the
glam.
Entourage, and I kind of appreciate that.
We'll get you the whole glam crew next time. That way you'll like the pictures.
Right.
So, all right. Well, this hour of the WGN Radio Theater, we have a half an hour radio show on the Gulf Screen Guild Theater with Henry Fonda. In Destry Rides Again, I think you're going to really like that show. Also in the cast, Paulette Goddard and Lloyd Nolan and Walter Brennan. So a terrific cast from 1941. Boy, going way back to 1941 for that. That's coming your way in a few minutes here. It's all brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride.
This actress stars in the TV series Stranger Things about a young boy who disappears and his mom who must confront terrifying forces to get him back. And the winner will win $25 gift card for Lou Malnati's Home of Chicago's Best Deep Dish Pizza.
This actress actually has her picture taken a lot too, Lisa, along with you.
Yeah,
she actually had a couple of mug shots too.
Yes, I heard about that.
All right.
I don't have any of those.
All right, so if you know who this actress is, 312-981-7200, here's a hint. She played Beth in 2010's Black Swan.
I'm coming by later. I have something for you. It's a token of my appreciation.
I never saw this movie.
No?
No. Did you see
it? No, I did see this. Yeah. I saw bits and pieces of it.
No, you didn't see it? Is that what you mean?
I did see it, but not the whole thing.
Oh.
I saw bits and pieces of it.
Yeah. You were distracted, perchance?
I probably was, because it,
Did you go with a girl, perchance?
It was, no, I think I saw it at home. It was a, it's about, what do you call it?
Dancing,
but what is that? Ballerinas. It was a bunch of ballerinas.
Right.
Ballet?
Ballet.
Yeah, ballet, I think it's called.
Yeah, they are ballerinas, but there was a bunch of ballerinas in
and
this.
And then that was it for you.
And this was one of the ballerinas in here. All right, so if you know who that actress is, call us 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner after this break.
The Gulf Screen Gal Theater. Your host, the director of the star's own theater, Roger Pryor. Good evening, everyone. Your neighborhood good Gulf dealer and the Gulf Oil Companies welcome you to the Gulf Screen Gal Theater. Tonight, we have a four-star story with a four-star cast. The stars, Paulette Goddard, Henry Fonda, Lloyd Nolan, and Walter Brennan. And the story, Destry Rides Again. A thrilling drama of the Old West with a brilliant score played by Oscar Bradley's Gulf Orchestra with Frank Tours conducting. Our starista will on stage in just a moment, and our play will begin. A burst of applause greets our stars as they enter the Gulf Theater stage. They step to the microphones and we present Destry Rides Again, adapted by Paul Franklin and Charles Tazewell. Henry Fonda plays Deputy Sheriff Tom Destry, Paulette Goddard is Frenchie, Lloyd Nolan is heard as the crooked gambler Kent, and Walter Brennan is Wash Dimmesdale, the town drunk. Now the house lights fade, there's the opening music cue, and Destry Rides Again. Here is 1870. The town of Bottleneck is a rough and tawdry accumulation of unpainted shacks, gambling houses, saloons, and dance halls growing out of the Montana prairie. The Last Chance Saloon is the roughest, loudest, bawdiest spot in Bottleneck, and is owned by a man named Kent and his partner, the girl called Frenchie, who runs the roulette wheel.
All right, gentlemen, place your bets. The wheel's running hot tonight. Pick your lucky number and make your prayers to Lady Luck.
Wash, a tremulous old barfly, stands drunkenly at Frenchie's elbow, mumbling half to her and half to himself about his favorite subject.
Yes, sir, old Tom Destry was the bravest shootingest sheriff that ever lived. I'm telling you, Frenchie.
Tell me some other time, Wash. Here we go, boys. Round and round it goes, and where it stops, nobody knows.
Old Tom Destry wasn't scared of nothing and nobody. And when Destry and me started shooting, why, the law spread all over the land like a flood.
Number 13 on the black. Too bad, boys, to stay with it. Somebody's got to win sometime, you know.
Just keep your money in your belt, man. Haven't got a chance of winning on that wheel.
Who says so? Well, if it isn't Sheriff Keogh with his tin star polished up like a headlight.
Closing you up, Frenchie.
You don't tell me.
And every other game in the place. Your roulette wheel's crooked. Kent's cards are marked. Now close up and stay closed.
Kent's going to be kind of hurt about this, Sheriff. Shall I break the news to him, or are you brave enough to do it?
Where is he?
Back there in the office.
Thanks.
Hey, what's up, Frenchie?
The sheriff's come to close us up, Mayor.
I told Ken he was a troublemaker when he appointed him.
He's gone in to talk to Ken. I'll hand it to Keogh. He's got plenty of...
Two shots, Frenchie, in Kent's office.
Yeah, I heard him. Kent's got an awful quick temper. I'm afraid something just happened in there that's going to cause a lot of trouble. Come on, Clara. Stop shaking and powder my back.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yes?
Yes.
All right, come in.
Get out of here, Clara.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, that's just what I'm thinking.
Well, what about Sheriff Keogh?
Well, I told everybody he went out the back way. He had a sudden call to go out of town.
Won't they ask questions when he never comes back?
They'll have to find his body before they can prove anything.
I didn't bargain for murder when I teamed up with you, Kent.
Now, don't get soft-hearted on me, Frenchie.
All right, I still say it was a mistake to kill Sheriff Keel.
Mistake was appointing him sheriff in the first place.
Well, who's the lucky man you've selected for your next victim?
I don't know. Could be Jip, Steve, any one of our boys.
Wouldn't it look pretty crude if you put in one of your own crowd?
Yeah, maybe you're right.
Say, I know just the man. He's right outside hanging on the bar. Elect him sheriff, give him a bottle a day, and the town's yours.
Who are you talking about?
Our local drunken windbag, the Honorable Wash.
Wash Dimsdale? Why, of course, it's a natural. Oh, Frenchie, you're wonderful. Come on. We'll go out front and break the news to the mayor. Have him tell Wash he's our new sheriff.
Our esteemed Sheriff Joe Keogh, having been suddenly called away, we need a new sheriff. Therefore, I here and now appoint his successor, that paragon of courage, that credit to Bottleneck, Mr. Wash Dimsdale.
And who's talking about me?
It's you, Wash.
The mayor, why, she just appointed you sheriff of Bottleneck.
Sheriff? Sheriff, did he say? What kind of a loony joke is he pulling?
No joke, Wash. Hand me the badge, Kent. I want to pin it on our new sheriff person. There.
Sheriff, let me be the first to congratulate you. Hey, bartender, drinks in the house.
Come on, Wash. We'll celebrate with champagne.
Yeah. Just like Old Song District.
Say, Wash, didn't you hear me? I said, come on and have a drink.
Yeah, I heard you, Frenchie. But Sheriff Wash Dimsdale ain't drinking.
What? You not drinking?
A man has to choose betwixt a bottle and a badge, and I'm choosing the badge, Kent.
Better change your mind.
No, Frenchie, I'm making it up here and now. This town needs respect for law and order.
And you're going to give it to us, huh?
When I was Destry's deputy, we handled Henry up bunches and you got here.
Sure, but Destry's been dead a long time.
Maybe so. But young Tom Destry's alive. I'm sending for him to be my deputy.
Yeah, what?
He was handmade by his pa to be the fightin'est man in the Hull West. Yes, sir, I'm sending for him to come here by the first stage. We'll clean up this town, me and him. And you'll see, Destry ride again. I'm sending for him. I'm sending for young Tom Destry.
Destry. Ain't he the guy that cleaned up Tombstone?
Yeah, Tombstone and Points West. You know, Kent, I hate to be a pessimist, but I wonder if we haven't made another big mistake.
Come on now, give Tom Destry a chance to get out of the stagecoach.
Driver, you ever handle a team like that again? I'm going to tear you apart with my own bare hands. You hear that?
Listen to him, Tom Destry. Welcome to Bottleneck.
Sorry, partner, but my name's Carruthers.
And where's Tom Destry?
Hello, Wash.
I'm Tom Destry. Guess I changed some since you last saw me.
You, Tom?
Oh. I guess I didn't expect to see Tom Destry dressed up like a dude wearing an umbrella.
Wash, I knew a man once named Stubbs. Thought he saw a potato bug on his leg. Well, Stubbs reached out and grabbed her and nearly lost his hand. He judged by looks. Darn thing was a bumblebee. And as for the umbrella, it was raining when we left Pecos.
Huh? Well, Tom, this here's Kent. Kent? Tom Destry.
Howdy.
Well, so you're Tom Destry, huh?
Yep. Sure, I've heard a lot about you, Mr. Kent.
Yeah? Maybe you've heard I got a hobby.
That's funny, so have I. Mine's carving napkin rings.
Is that so? Mine happens to be collecting deputy sheriff's guns. So you better give me yours right now.
Sorry, but that's one gun your collection's gonna be mine.
You mean I'll have to take it?
If you can.
Tom, look out!
Keep your hands right where they are till I frisk you. You make one move and I'll be hanged.
You ain't packing a gun.
No, I never reckon I'd need to be healed and bottlenecked.
And after all we hear, the great Tom Destry's son, a no-gun sheriff. Well, if this ain't a hot one, say, come on over to the last chance. I want you to meet Frenchie. Boy, is she gonna get a big laugh out of you. Look him over, Frenchie. Tell me what you think of him.
You mean this dude is what we've been waiting for?
Yes, ma'am. I'm Tom Destry. Coming visiting, I wore my good clothes.
He's cute, ain't he, Frenchie? And you know what? He don't carry a gun.
And you're the guy who cleaned up Tombstone. What did he use, a cake of soap?
Well, no, ma'am, but I've seen the time a cake of soap could have come in mighty handy. Man I knew once had a reputation of being plenty tough. One night he called on a lady who worked in a Tombstone saloon. He kind of fancied her and kissed her on the cheek to prove it. If she'd have used soap and water more often, he'd still be here. You see, the poor man died next morning of painter's colic.
Why, you insulting... Frenchie, let him alone, I'll tear his eyes out. Hey, Lance,
wait,
hey, killing me. He can't talk to me that way.
Shucks, Tom. She tripped in that chair and knocked herself clean out.
I'm sure sorry for what happened, but we can't let a lady stay lying on a saloon floor.
Tom, put down that water bucket. Tom, go.
Someone's got to bring a lady, too.
Who did that? Who threw that water on me?
Mine, ma'am. I did it with a little fuss.
Get out of my way and let me out of him. I'm going to tear him apart.
Look out, Tom. You got a hold of that lamp?
Now, ma'am. You should never throw a lamp underhand.
Dodge this one, then.
Woo! Now, if you gotta throw glasses, make sure mine's got beer.
I'll beer you. I'll break your neck.
Careful, ma'am.
I'll show you.
Frenchie, look out that tape.
Great gilded glory, Tom.
What happened?
Why, she done knocked herself out again.
Continue with Act Two of our Gulf Theater production. Destry rides again in just a few seconds.
Thank you, Lisa Wolf. This is the WGN Radio Theater. We are here Saturday and Sunday nights from 11 p.m. till 2 o'clock in the morning, 6 hours. And we play six classic radio shows, of course, unless one of them is an hour-long show, which we played an hour-long show earlier. But generally, we play six classic radio shows. And Lisa and I will be back here tonight at 10 p.m., but
11.
Then we go on the air at 11.
It's just confusing
just
everyone.
If you're listening. We get here at 10, but then we go on at 11. We're here from 11 till 2, and we will have a salute to Brian Donlevy, Dangerous Assignment, Suspense, and Burns and Allen. But right now, let's get back to Destry Rides Again from February 2nd, 1941, starring Henry Fonda on the Gulf Screen Guild Theater.
Now the curtain's ready to rise on the second act of Destry Rides Again, starring Henry Fonda as Tom Destry, Paulette Goddard as Frenchie, Lloyd Nolan as Kent, and Walter Brennan as Wash. A week later, and much to Wash's disappointment, his new deputy is still a no-gun lawman. The mystery of Sheriff Keogh's strange disappearance is still unsolved, although Wash is certain he was murdered. Destry is asked to carry on the investigation in his own way, and as the scene opens, he's calling at Frenchie's house in the hope of getting some information.
Miss Frenchie said for you to come right along in, Mr. Destry.
Thanks.
Yeah, he is, Miss Frenchie.
Get out of the way, Clara.
Yes, ma'am.
Whoa, whoa, now hold it, ma'am.
Come out from behind that settee, you coward.
Please don't start throwing things again. I came over here special just to apologize.
Apologize for what?
Well, if you put that lamp down, I think we could talk more comfortable.
Well, all right, start talking.
Oh, I aim to apologize to you for not knowing who was the real boss of Bottleneck.
So you're finally starting to get some sense, huh?
Well, you might call it that. Now, I could have stomped in here shooting off my face about rumors I've heard.
Such as?
Well, some folks say you run a crooked wheel and you take part in crooked poker games.
Destry, you think you can come in here and hint around with me, don't you? Listen, I've seen tin horns like you plenty of them.
Well, I've seen people like you too, Frenchie. Abilene, Dodge, Tombstone, they all thought the easy picking would last forever.
You better mind your own business or you'll be heading for trouble.
Trouble is my business.
Well, mine's doing as I please, and in this town, that's just what I do.
So I notice.
And I've got plenty of people backing me to take care of anybody that gets in my way.
Like they took care of Sheriff Keogh?
Yes, just like that.
I...
That's what I thought.
You do too much thinking.
Is that what's called a hint in bottleneck?
Yeah, and the second hint is a bullet.
I like that about you, Frenchie. You come to the point. Oh, that's not the only thing I like about you. I bet you got a pretty face under all that paint.
You take that back, or I'll...
Wipe the paint off sometime, Frenchie, and take a good look at what's underneath it. And figure how you can live up to it. You see, I got an idea I could like you a lot.
Get out! Get out of here!
That's a mighty pretty teacup. That's the nicest thing you ever threw at me.
Get out!
I guess you're learning to like me, too.
Get out! Get out! Get out!
Great gilded glory, Tom, chasing after Frenchie and getting this town cleaned up. Why don't you strap on them guns and put Kent and his gang in Boot Hill Cemetery?
Because that's not my way, Wash. I had a friend once, an Opry singer. Went into the cement business. One day he fell into the mixer, and now he's in the cornerstone of the post office in St. Louis, Missouri. He should have stuck to his own way of doing things.
Well, I still say that Kent and his whole crowd ought to be planted 6 feet under.
And more than likely a dozen more would spring up in their place. No, Sir Walsh, we got to put them behind bars as an example to the rest.
Yeah, but how?
Well, you think Sheriff Keogh left town?
Of course not. No matter what Ken says, I know. He was ventilated with a .44.
Suppose we was to find, what do them lawyers call it, the corpus delicti, the body of the deceased?
We ain't got a chance of doing that.
I think we have, Walsh. Come on, let's go over to the last chance and have a little powwow with the only witness to that shooting. Mr. Kent himself. It sure is right neighborly of you to let me join in your checker game, Mr. Kent. You know, most folks around here ain't so friendly.
Well, see, we just don't like sheriffs. I'll jump your man here.
Well, they tell me Sheriff Keogh wasn't very popular. Every time I mention his name, people look scared. Guess I'll have to take one of your men now.
Well, look who's visiting us. Hello, Destry.
Good evening, Miss Frenchie.
Maybe checkers is your game, and checkers you can take a man without using a gun.
Tom was just asking about Keogh, Frenchie.
Destry, you seem to make a habit of wasting your time.
I'm telling you now, Destry, that Keogh left town.
I know. Only I got to thinking maybe he left something behind. Something like a body.
Yeah? But you can't prove a crime without finding a body.
That's right, Kent. But supposing we knew where there was one in pretty good condition.
Well, that's a fine, lively conversation in front of a lady. Come on, Sheriff. Let's see how you are dancing.
Ma'am, I'm sure unhandy with my feet.
Well, you'll have to prove that, mister, because I've always wanted to lay my head on a sheriff's badge.
Well, I might as well go whole hog or nothing.
Would you excuse us, Kent?
Oh, sure. Go right ahead. Hey, Mayor, come here. Destry's shooting off his mouth. He's hinting that he's found Keogh's body.
Oh, he's bluffing. If anybody's been out to Panamint Canyon, we'd know about it.
Yeah, but we gotta find out. I tell you what, send Jip out there to make sure while Frenchie's dancing with Destry to keep him here.
That's pretty good. Especially that part where they call your left arm up and your right around her waist, dance with a pretty girl face to face.
Yeah, of course you said I was pretty.
Well, you are.
Destry, you know, there's something about you that... Look, will you please get out of this town before they kill you?
Would it make you feel bad if they did?
What difference does that make?
A lot.
All right. Then will you go for my sake?
Mom! Mom! It worked! It worked, just like you said.
We'll talk it over outside.
But I found it, Tom, out Panamint Canyon.
Shut up, Wash, can't you see it?
Oh, Sheriff, you've been out to Panamint Canyon, huh? Tell me, what did you find?
Hey, you ought to know, Kent. We followed Jip when you sent him out of here, and he led us right to Keogh's body. Yeah, and I got Jip locked up in the jug on a charge of murder.
Well, Wash, if there isn't something being poured into your mouth, something else is being spilled out of it.
Let him talk, Destry. Kent doesn't seem to be enjoying it.
Shut up, Frenchie. Well, they haven't got a case against Jip.
You darn tooth we have, and what's more, we've got a circuit judge coming in on the morning stage to try him. And maybe you, too, if we can get Jip to talk.
Oh, yeah? Well, thanks for the information, Wash.
Only I wouldn't count too much on Jip talking. A lot of things can happen before morning.
Miss Frenchie's expecting
me. Thanks, Claire. I got word you had to talk to me tonight, Frenchie.
Yes, I had to. I'm leaving town and I wanted to see you before I left.
Why, it's kind of sudden, ain't it?
No, I should have left here long ago. And I ought never to have tied up with Kent.
I'm glad to hear you say that. I reckon folks are going to miss you here.
What about you?
Yeah, me too. Where'd he aim to go?
Back where I came from. New Orleans. Have you ever been there?
No.
Wonderful at this time of year. Tom, will you come with me? How about it? You said you liked me, didn't you? Please, you've got to come.
Well, I sure would like to, but I got a job here to finish.
All you've got here is a piece of ground 6 feet deep. Tom, what can I say to you? I can't bear to see you killed like Keo.
What makes you think I will be?
Because I know Kent. Stage leaves tonight. Promise me you'll be honest.
Why are you so afraid for me?
Because I love you, that's why. I've loved you since the first moment you walked into town. Well, go on, laugh, why don't you?
Because I don't see nothing to laugh about.
You don't think I'm so bad.
Bad? Didn't I tell you once I had an idea I could like you a lot?
Tom...
Shots. Down toward the jail.
What is it?
So it's all a trick.
Tom, no.
You got me here and fed me a lot of fancy talk while Kent raided the jail. I'll remember this thing.
Tom, don't go out there, please. Tom, Tom. Oh, you poor fool.
Carry him in here, doctor. That's it. There. How is it now, Wash?
They shot me in the back, Tom.
Yeah, I know. You got a rest, Wash?
No. My resting time's coming. Don't pull that long face, Tom. It was Moan's fault.
Please, Wash.
No, I ain't to blame. Give it all away to Kent when I come into the saloon. Tom, I'm just plumb no good.
That ain't so, Wash. You and my dad, you're two peas in a pod. Brave and honest and tough. And like him, you got shot in the back. But when I leave here, I'm strapping on his own two guns and squaring a lot of accounts.
Yeah, Destry's guns. Old Tom, I'll be sitting on a cloud of steadying your shooting arm. Steadying your shooting arm when Destry rides again.
You hear me? This is Despy, Kent. I'm coming for you.
Oh, come in, Tommy. I'll kill you.
This is Despy, Kent, and I'm coming in.
Tom.
I've been waiting for you, Despy.
That gun you're packing loaded?
With slugs that have got your name written all over them. Your gal friend came down to plead for your life. Now she can stay and watch you die.
Tom, you don't stand a chance. Why didn't you listen to me?
I've listened to a lot of things today, Frenchie. You and Wash while he was dying with a bullet in his back. Now I'm tired of listening. Kent, you're finished.
Look who's talking.
It's Tom Destry talking, Kent. And this time I'm packing my gun. Now, just to give you a break, suppose we let Frenchie here start counting. And when she gets to three, I'll figure your hand is filled.
All right, Frenchie. We'll make it fast.
I won't. I'm not going to stand
here. Go on, Frenchie.
Yeah, start counting.
One. Two.
For God's sake, get it over with.
Look out!
Frenchie, don't! Frenchie.
You little fool, get out!
It's yours, Kent.
Nice shooting, Despy. You win. I reckon they outcard in any game, and It's a dame in love.
Frenchie, why did you run in front of me?
You tried to beat the cop.
I know, but you ain't got no call to be stopping a bullet meant for me.
Not bad. I sure.
I gotta get you a doctor.
It doesn't hurt half as much as what you said when you left me tonight.
I didn't mean it. I didn't mean it at all.
Then you do have the idea that maybe you could like me?
I ain't never lost the idea. I ain't never gonna lose it. Hey. Hey, what are you crying for?
Because I'm happy. And because maybe the tears will wash away any pain that's left. I wouldn't want you to get pains of colic.
Shucks. I had colic regular when I was a baby. Look, I ain't scared of it at all.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have just heard Paulette Goddard, Henry Fonda, Walter Brennan, and Lloyd Nolan direct from the stage at the Gulf Screen Guild Theater in Hollywood. The four stars you heard tonight, like the famous screen personalities we have brought you in the past, all donated their performances. In return, Gulf has contributed handsomely to the Motion Picture Relief Fund in order to help build the home that will provide for the workers in the picture industry who can no longer provide for themselves. Next week, one of the most sensational casts in the 3-year history of the Gulf Theater. Norma Shearer, Franco Tone, Mary Astor, and Hattie McDaniel in No Time for Comedy. It's the romantic comedy that came to Hollywood after a record run on Broadway and became a motion picture hit from coast to coast. Next week, the Gulf Screen Guild Theater presents for the first time on the air S.N. Behrman's brilliant play, No Time for Comedy, starring Norma Shearer, Franco Tone, Mary Astor, and Hattie McDaniel. The music, of course, will be by Oscar Bradley's Gulf Orchestra with Frank Tours conducting, so be sure to listen. Until next Sunday night, then, this is Roger Pryor saying good night, everyone, for your neighborhood good Gulf dealer. Currently appearing in second chorus. Lloyd Nolan starts filming soon on Two Bad Angels. Henry Fonda will soon be seen in Lady Eve, all at Paramount. Walter Brennan's latest is Frank Capra's Meet John Doe. Bud Easton speaking. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.